I'm looking at the red, some of the red bits today, actually. It's good to read the red bits. You know, Jesus, God's Son, never lied. So when he speaks truth. Hallelujah. I have a question today. What are you building your life upon? What are you building your life upon? And let's turn to the Gospel of Luke, chapter 6. The Gospel of Luke and chapter 6. Looking at verses 46 through to 49. And these are the words of Jesus. And Jesus says, "Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not do what I say? Everyone who comes to me and hears my words and acts upon them, I will show you whom he is like. He's like a man building a house who dug a deep and laid a foundation upon the rock. And when the flood arose, the torrent burst against the house and could not shake it, because it had been well built. But the one who has heard and has not acted accordingly is like a man who built his house upon the ground without any foundation. And the torrent burst against it, and immediately it collapsed, and the ruin of the house was great." Well, you know, we're planning some extension on the building, and the first thing they wanted to see was, what are the foundations like? So we had to dig a hole, and we had to dig a deep hole. Didn't you, Robert? And Mick, you dug a deep hole. And we found some good foundations. Amen. Praise God. And you know, we as believers need to dig a good foundation. Amen. And our foundation, and when we build our lives need to build upon the solid rock. Yeah. So important. There is so much going on, there's so much turmoil, there is torrents of negativity. There is torrents of lies and deceit and filth that is being poured at us. And we need a foundation that as that torrent comes towards us, it literally just washes past us. And it doesn't faze us. It doesn't move us, because we are built on a good foundation. Jesus Christ. And the Word of God. Do you want to be ruined?
No.
Or do you want to be renewed in person in Christ Jesus? And I'm sure each and every one of us want to be renewed in Christ. Amen?
Yeah.
Hallelujah. 89 going on still. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Being renewed through and in the person of Jesus Christ. That's where we're at. God wants to do a work in you. But God wants to make sure that your foundation, your life, your lifestyle is fixed upon the rock, Christ Jesus. You don't build it on something else out there. You don't build it on the financial system. It has been known that the financial system has collapsed historically. So you have to build on Jesus. He's our provider. He's our keeper. He's the one who will keep you through the challenges that we face each day. He's our joy. He's our peace. He's the one who will maintain us. And don't let the circumstances around you pressurize you into doing something that you don't want to do and is against the Word of God. Stay with the Word. Let the Word be your guide. Let the Word direct you and move you forward. So important. This Word is powerful. This Word is true. This is what keeps each and every one of us. This is what brings healing. Sheila said to me, she came out for prayer last Sunday, and she said, there's been a little bit of improvement. Now, she's battling something which is some 20-odd, 25-plus years, if not longer. I don't know. But, let's continue to pray. Let's break its hold. 25 years. Remember Jesus said about that woman who had been held bondage all those years? How she was cast down? She was classed as unclean, but yet she pressed in. She pushed through until she touched the hem of his garment. And in touching the hem of his garment, Jesus said, power has gone from me. Yeah. Hallelujah. Jesus is a powerhouse. Amen. Jesus is the one who can supply all our needs. Yeah. And she touched the powerhouse, the Son of God. One translation says, the virtue has gone from me. That virtue, that power, however you want to phrase it, went into this woman. And it says, and immediately, not some time later, but immediately, she became whole. That issue of blood dried up. And she was set free. Let's believe God for greater things yet to be. Turn with me to Matthew chapter 15. Matthew chapter 15 and verses 16 to 18. Sorry, it's Matthew 16, 16 to 18. Matthew chapter 16, verses 16 to 18. The verse before, in verse 15, Jesus said to them, but who do you say that I am? Who is Jesus to you today? Who is he to you? That's a good question. Yeah. Verse 16, and Simon Peter answered and said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Wow. And Jesus answers him and says to Peter, blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah, because flesh and blood did not reveal this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. You know, this must have been in some earlier time during his ministry. They're still getting to know who Jesus really is. They're still astounded by these miracles that Jesus is doing. They're amazed at what this man, who's just literally wandered into their lives. They were out doing what they normally do. They were out fishing. And sometimes not too well. And then Jesus calls them by name and says, follow me. I'm going to make you fishers of men. And so at some stage during this journey they are having with Jesus, suddenly Peter gets this revelation that Jesus is the Christ. Amen. He's the Messiah. Jesus is the anointed one. Christ means anointed one. He's the anointed one.
Yeah.
He has this revelation. He has the revelation that Jesus is the Son of God. Even the Pharisees and the Sadducees didn't know who Jesus was. But Peter received a revelation from heaven. And in verse 18 it says, "And I also say to you that you are Peter." Here's the name change. "And upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades shall not overpower it." The gates of hell shall not overpower the church.
Amen.
Amen? And if you're in the church, then the gates of hell will not overpower you.
Amen?
Amen. Glory to God.
Amen.
It's a promise. It is a statement from the Son of God. It is a statement from the Anointed One. It is a statement from the very Son of God.
Amen.
Does he lie? No. You better believe it then, what he's told you. The devil will not. His principalities and powers will not overpower the church.
Amen.
Yeah, but have you seen the state of the church in England? It's passing.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's passing.
Yeah.
There is a change. There is a wind of change.
Amen.
There's a sound in the mulberry bushes.
Amen.
Hallelujah. There's a move of God
yeah.
coming. And we have to believe that and stand on that. You know, when the church in Rome, which is now the Roman Catholic Church, took on Peter and made him a saint, didn't they? Saint Peter, you know. Well, they could have had Saint Michael, Mickey, you know, bless him, instead. But he's not that old, you see, thankfully. Yeah, they could have had Saint Robert.
Yeah.
Well, the Bible says you're saints,
yeah.
You know. But you see, the church took on Peter. You see, they looked at this scripture and said that Peter is the rock. Well, he's not.
No.
He's not. You see, that word there, when Jesus says to him, he says, "On this rock." The rock is the statement that Peter made. "Thou art the Christ." That's the rock on which we build our salvation. That's the rock on which we receive our healing. That's the rock on which takes us into the very presence of God. That's the rock that keeps us. That's the place where we place our feet upon solid rock. And that rock is Christ Jesus. You know, it talks about Jesus in other parts of Scripture as being the chief cornerstone. Well, if you were to go outside in daylight and go right round to this right-hand corner where I'm stood here, you'll find there is a cornerstone. And it gives you a date and information on it. And that cornerstone, when it was laid there for one reason. That every brick from that point onwards would be made level and straight in every direction. And so every measurement has to be taken from the cornerstone. It's not taken from the other end of the building.
No.
You know, I sort of inherited a 6 foot spirit level. And I remember my early training as an apprentice. But you remember the square that you get? Well, I remember that I got one off somebody, and it was second hand. And my master teacher, the first thing he did was he took hold of it. He got a piece of timber and he planed the bottom edge of it up, put the timber on the bench, He took a pencil and this square and he drew a line on this side. He then flicked it over that way and he drew another line. And he looked at it and said, well, that's no good, because the lines were moving away from one another. It had had a bang. It was faulty. And I thought, it was as simple as that to find out whether it was any good or not. And in the same way, you can take a spirit level, you can draw a line, and then flip it through 90 degrees and put it back up and discover, oh dear, it's had a knock. It's a bit out of, it's not right. And I remember when we were building this platform, and I brought this yellow spirit level out and started messing with it, and I thought, how on earth is 6 foot going to reach across 11 metres? How on earth are we going to get this thing level? It'll be all over the place, you know. It'll be, when you walk on it, it'll be like going up the sea, you know. You'll be bobbing up and down. And somebody said to me, oh, this Lidl are selling some tools off cheap. So I nipped down, and waiting for me there was this digital infrared spirit level. Oh, and I went, wow. And we used it, didn't we, guys? We used it every day that we were here, and we kept that line all across. And I'll guarantee you, you can put a ball or a marble on there and it will not roll off. It will just stay there because it's fixed and level, because we started and we put a line across and we followed that line all the time and we ensured that that was never moved. It was fixed. That cornerstone's fixed. This cornerstone, Jesus, is fixed. And that cornerstone, Jesus, we need to have that cornerstone in our lives, that he's fixed in our lives and our lives are fixed upon him. That in him, he looks after us and he cares for us. His eye is ever upon us. And so Jesus is that rock. Peter, well, when you look in scripture, what Jesus said to him was Petros. In other words, little stone. You're just a brick in the wall. You're just a brick in the wall. And each and every one of us are bricks in the wall of the kingdom of God. Every one of us are parts, little parts of what God is doing in his kingdom. And when we come together, we become the kingdom of God in might and in power. You know, Jesus was also referred to as the stone in Matthew 21 and verse 44. He's referred to as the stone the builders rejected. They threw him to one side. They discarded him, the Pharisees and the Sadducees. They pushed him to one side. They thought at first he was nobody. He'll come and he'll go. And if you remember in scripture when they were talking about him, you know, they were sort of saying, and about the disciples and this move of God, they were saying, well, if this is of God, you'll not be able to resist it. But if it's not, it'll go away. So just ignore it. But guess what? For 2,000 years plus, Jesus has not gone away. The word of God has not changed. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He changeth not. And so today we need to make sure that we're standing on the rock, Christ Jesus. That scripture for the stone that the builders rejected comes from Psalm 118 and verse 22, isn't it? And you read that, didn't you? How did you know I was going to quote from that psalm? No. You're not been reading me notes? No. Praise God. That stone was rejected. Do you know something? Jesus has been rejected many times. By hundreds and thousands of people. And they reject Christ. They reject the hope. They reject His loving future for them because they think they have a better way. And let me tell you this, there is no better way than to walk with Jesus. There's no better way than to follow the Lord Jesus each day of your life. And when you fall, it says He will pick you up, dust you off, put you back on your feet and set you off again. He knows that we are weak. He knows our frailty. But He's always watching over us. He's always caring for us. Let us build upon Jesus Christ. Let us build upon His principles. Yeah. Let's see that cornerstone, that date when your life was changed. The name of the architect upon your building, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Glory to God. The cement that holds you together, the Holy Spirit, that binds us together, the love of God that binds us together and keeps us. It keeps us living and breathing and moving forward. Make sure you know that date. Make sure that name is burnt into your heart and into your spirit so that every time you need something, it's Jesus first. You know, if you've got a credit card, they give you a PIN number, don't they? And then they give you a 3-digit number, so you've got 8 numbers to remember, haven't you? Yeah? It's great, isn't it? And if you get those numbers wrong, it's not great. And if you get them wrong too many times, it swallows your card and you're locked out. Just like me, I'm locked out of my bank account at the moment, digitally. I've been now for about 2 weeks. I'm going to war on Tuesday, I think, with the bank. Hallelujah. But you see, we need to know that name. Jesus. Yeah. What do you need? Jesus. And in every circumstance, in every situation, when we become the sons of God, when we become born again of the Spirit of God, we have access to the throne room of heaven. We have access spiritually into the presence of Almighty God. Make sure that this day and from now on that you ensure that your feet are planted upon the rock Christ Jesus. If you plant on something else, you will find the land will slip away. I don't know if you ever stood on the beach when the tide's coming in and you stand there in the sand. And as the tide washes in, after a while you can feel the sand's moving, can't you? Yeah. And it's undermining what you stood on. It's gradually taking away. Don't do it all at once. There's a gradual removing. The more that we allow the world into our life, the more it begins to erode the foundation. Because if you're built on the world's sandy life, the world's easy situations, it will erode your life. It will bring you to a place where you will come tumbling down. But when you build on the rock, Jesus, when you are fixed upon the Lord Jesus Christ, you will know a security that when that storm comes and crashes against you, as Anne said, enough's enough. I'm having no more. Enough's enough. You got to get mad. What Grace missed out with that lady with the dog is that what she did do, not only did she raise her voice, but she actually stamped her foot. So it was that extra emphasis of go home. And sometimes you've got to back off. This is God's territory.
Amen.
God's creature. Amen. Back off.
Amen.
And push back. And declare the freedom that comes through Christ Jesus. Declare the Prince of Peace being dominant in your life and not the prince of this world who brings trouble, strife, and darkness with him, who brings fear. Jesus brings joy. Jesus brings peace. Jesus brings happiness. Zechariah chapter 4 and verse 6 says this. Zechariah chapter 4 and verse 6. It is not by might. You know, it's not how strong you're feeling today, but it's how much of the Spirit of God is working in you. And how much we're prepared to let God do it. It's not by might, it's not by power, but it is by my Spirit, says the Lord. In his breath, he can destroy. That is amazing. That the breath of God can bring destruction, and yet in the beginning, the breath of God created life. Wow. When he breathed into Adam the very breath of life, breathed into him his spirit, and he quickened him and brought his man to life, to look over, to be responsible for God's creation, this earth. You know, each and every one of us, we were born equal. Did you realize that? You're all born a sinner. You thought I was going to tell you something else. Wonderful then, didn't you? Eh?
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm sorry. But you were all born sinners. You were all born equal. You were all born in the same amount of sin, degradation, worthlessness. You were all born at that same depth and level. That's how we came into this world. We came in sinful. Because he says, you are, Jesus said this, you were of your father, the devil.
Yeah.
And when we came in, until we receive Jesus as our Lord and Savior, we are belonging to the devil. Yeah. It's as simple as that. You might say, oh, that's a bit harsh. But that's what the word says. If Christ is not in you, if Christ is not your Lord, then you are of the devil. We are then servants of the devil. But if Christ, when we take Christ as our Lord and Savior, we become servants of the Most High God. So we came all from the same place. And you know, as we come to Christ, something else, we have the same opportunities. Praise God. There's no favorites. There's no favorites in God. You have the same opportunities through Jesus Christ. Because he loves each and every one of us equally. You see, God, when we came to Jesus, gave us a new start. He gave us a new beginning. He breathed into us the breath of the Spirit. He breathed into us new life in Christ Jesus. You know, we sing that chorus, I am a new creation. No more in condemnation. Here by the grace of God, I stand. Well, make sure you're standing on the rock, Christ Jesus. And we're standing in the things of the Spirit. We've become that new creation. And we're growing into the things of God. You know, when there's a newborn baby, you don't suddenly think, well, you know, mother doesn't think, well, I've had it 9 months already. And suddenly the baby decides, well, I've had enough of my mother now. 9 months, you know, been stuck in the dark. That's enough, isn't it, for anybody? And the baby pops out and starts yelling and crying, you know, and he says, that's it. I'm done, I'm off, I'm going. Does it? Don't happen that way. And the parents don't turn around and say, well, we've, you know, This child, we've had to put up with this child, this lump, particularly the mother, for the last 9 months. It's been kicking at times and moving around. I've had enough. It can look after itself now. You don't, do you? It can't. Well, let me tell you this. In preparation for new babies, spiritual babies coming in, they can't look after themselves. They're looking for godly fathers, godly mothers, who will care for them, direct them, feed them, change the diapers. It's gone quiet. No volunteers for diaper changing. It gets messy. It gets messy. It gets demanding. Are you ready for it? You say, well, it's not been like that in the previous church you were in. Well, I'm telling you. The world is full of babies. Whether they're a few months old, whether 60, 70, 80 year old, if they don't know Christ, when they come to Christ, they will be babes in Christ. And even more so today, because many of the people that will come to Christ have never been through Sunday school. Think about it. Who went to Sunday school when they were a child? Yeah. No, there's one. So when you knew nothing, so when they're walking through the door, don't expect them to know anything. They'll know plenty about the world. They'll be streetwise. And if you're not careful, they'll follow the streetwise instead of following the one way. Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. And so we need to start our preparation. And we need to begin, as the word teaches, to say, there's a principle that says about train a child up in the way that it should go, and it will never deviate. And we need to realize that we've got some training to do. I'm amazed how, at times, Hayley, must be reading the Word of God quite a lot. Because when you talk to her, she can quote Scripture. And that encourages me. At least she's in there. She might not fully understand it. Do you fully understand it? No, there you go. And you've been on it a while longer. So that's not a big issue. But you see, it's about the process of renewing your mind. He talks in Romans 12 about us renewing our minds. In other words, our old habits have to be broken. You see, I had an old habit which nearly killed me twice. I rode a motorbike when I was 17, 18. When I got a motorbike when I was 60 or so, they'd changed over where the brake pedal was. They'd swapped it over to the other side of the bike and they'd changed the gear change lever. And all of a sudden, I'm riding this motorbike and I'm coming to this 90-degree bend. And thankfully, I wasn't going fast. And I looked and I thought, I need just to drop a little bit of speed off. So one of the ways you do that is you just touch the back brake a little bit and it keeps the bike fairly stable, doesn't it, Steve? It just helps it sit there. Don't touch the front. It might, you know, just give it that. And so I decided to just thin a little bit of speed off. What are you laughing at? It weren't funny. Wrong pedal. So what did I do? I dropped it into false neutral. Now I've got nothing, only the forward momentum of the motorbike. Now it is now too late to break. I'm trying to get round a 90-degree bend. I did not succeed. I ended up in the hedge. I went over the top of the motorbike, hanging on for dear life. The bike landed in the hedge, and so did I. And all I could hear was boom, 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 boom. My helmet was steamed up. I couldn't see a thing. So I thought, oh, I'll just lift my helmet, my visor up so I can see. And I raised my right hand. Was it my right? No, my left hand, that's right. My left hand, isn't it? My left hand. Raised my left hand up and I was in absolute agony. I dislocated my shoulder. So I stood up eventually. Somebody helped me stand up and pick my bike up and so on. And then I just stood there and I went, Anyway, I popped it back in. I thought, oh. And the pain all went. And then I looked at my trousers. My trousers were ripped. My shoes were torn. There was a big dent in the tank. The fairing was smashed. All because I had a flashback to the old way. I'd been riding a little while, but I had this flashback. Do you know what I did after that? Apart from repair it and sort myself out and everything else, I went and enrolled in a training school for advanced riders. And it was the best thing that I ever did. We need to make sure that those people that give their lives to Christ, they get enrolled in training for Jesus.
Amen.
And that we are available as voluntary trainers to train them. Because Steve and I, we're voluntary trainers and we train people to ride to an advanced level on a motorcycle. We don't get paid for doing it. But we do it because we want to see people riding safely. Now you need and I need to be voluntary trainers on the things of the kingdom of God. Why are we doing it? Because we want to see people come through in victory. We want to see people come through praising God. We want to see people equipped for spiritual warfare. We want to see people equipped to bring their lives and their family lives into line with the word of God, seeing that God can move in power. We want to see the church filled, overflowing, and we've got two or three meetings going on Sunday because we're teaching so many people about the kingdom principles and about the Jesus, the one who has saved us, healed us, delivered us, and is keeping us forever and ever. Amen.
Amen.
And that's what we need to do.
Yeah.
It's a big task. Yeah, but Andrew, I've got other things to do in my life. Has God given you a talent? Talents? You need to use them. We need to use our talents. Don't be like the servant who only hid his talent away. And in the end, taken from him and is cast into the outer darkness and handed over to the tormentors. Let's use our talents and let's grow our talents. Let's increase what we've got. Because God is a God of increase. God is a God of multiplication. In the beginning, when he created things, he said, go forth and subtract. Is that what he said?
Multiply.
He didn't say add to yourself. He said multiply. I love multiplication. Let's see a multiplying of the things of the kingdom of God and see Jesus moving in power. Salvation is not just based on hearing the message of the Lord Jesus. Jesus died on a cross for my sins, for your sins. It's about our daily walk. It's about our daily relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. It's not, oh, well, I'm going to meet Jesus on Sunday. Really? What happened 6 days, the rest of the 6 days? Oh, I was riding with the devil.
Oh, dear.
It's true. Hey. There are some people, some churches, you know, the folk are wonderful on Sunday. You meet them on Monday. Just swap sides. They're now riding with the devil. Not sure whether they are the devil, in fact, in some cases. 7 days a week, 24/7. And we move on with God. And we move forward with God, seeing the kingdom of God being established. Our relationship with Him, Jesus. It's not just about hearing the word of God. It's not just listening to it. It says that, Paul says, it's not just about hearing, nor is it faith alone, but it is also about doing the things spoken to us by Christ. Be ye doers of the word. In James it talks about our faith being visible by our works and our works being visible, showing faith. It's a combination that we have to move forward together and we have to let this word of God flow through us and move through us and be effective. Amen. The word of God has to be life-changing. We have to make sure that as we are born of the Spirit of God, that the enemy knows who we are and that he backs off from us and that we see the kingdom of God flowing through our lives. We see the power of God flowing through our lives. We see the presence of God flowing through our lives. We need to push forward. Yeah. And we need to say no to the devil. Amen. To the lies of the devil. And we need to press in. You know, God's saving faith is a complete faith. We don't lack anything. When a child is born, it is born with every faculty. It doesn't suddenly grow other muscles later on. They're all there. It's all about the use thereof. Have you noticed if you ever get sick for 2 or 3 weeks and you may be laid in bed or something like that, you start to lose some of your strength, don't you? And you have to rework your muscles up. Every muscle is there. The ability to run the 100 yards with under, 10 seconds or so, is within every child. But it's practice. It's practice, it's effort. To be good at something, you have to practice. There are a few people who can be very talented and just do things that just like, you know, a gift. But most of us have to practice. We have to work at it. And as we work at it, we get better. And we begin to perfect the technique in whatever it is, playing the drums, playing the guitar, playing the keyboard, putting all keys in the right place. Glory to God. Putting all the notes in the right place. Singing all the notes in the right place. You have to practice. And as we practice, we perfect it. And as we practice the work of the kingdom of God, as we practice our faith and practice our relationship with God the Father, you've been justified. You are part of Christ. Amen. You're part of the true creation. Amen. Hallelujah. You are part of it. God loves you with an everlasting love. Our faith has to be real, it has to be living, and it has to be dynamic. Jesus was real, he was living, he was dynamic. People came looking for Jesus. They came from far countries looking for Jesus. They even wanted to take him and make him their king. People need to come looking for Jesus. Amen. And they need to find Christ in each and every one of us. Yeah. Psalm 84 and verse 11 says this, "For the Lord God is a sun and a shield. The Lord will give grace and glory. No good thing will he withhold from them that walk uprightly." God's not holding out on you. He's not holding out on you. You know, some people will say, "Oh, well, you know, well, maybe because of this, maybe because of that." If we're walking with God, God will not be holding out on us. He wants to give to us, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. He wants to give to us. He wants to see us moving forward. What does it mean to walk uprightly? It means to walk in the ways, the teachings of the Lord Jesus. And the only way we can do this is by reading the Bible, and we practice what it says, listening to the Word of God, spending quality time with the Lord and the Lord's people, being together in church, doing things together that we might reach the souls for Christ around us. You know, I saw on Friday evening, a few of us came down, musicians were here, and we had the sound desk down there, and we were playing around with it and trying to improve sound qualities both on music and everything else. I don't know whether we've achieved it. We thought we had, but you'll tell me later. But it was okay, and the musicians were able at the same time to have a practice, and it was a great time. It was a great time of fellowship, but it was a great time of even the presence of the Lord being amongst us. Because even when you're just practicing and putting things together, my presence is always with you. He don't just suddenly say, "Well, I'll tell you what, I'll turn up when you're praying for somebody that's sick and I'll be there for you." That's not what it's like. But you know, we think like that, don't we? Come on, let's be honest. You know, when we're up on this scaffolding and we've been fixing these windows and that, was Jesus here? Was the Holy Spirit here then? Yeah, he was. Yeah, but why would God be interested in... Because he's interested in you, and he's interested in what you're interested in. And it says, when brothers and sisters dwell together in unity, their God commands the blessing, life forevermore. Even when we sit round a table eating, there's a presence of Jesus. All we've got to do is listen. To know him is to know life eternal. So God says, listen, spend your quality time with me, and then when you come together, wow, hey, guess what God said to me yesterday? And he's not saying, "Oh, do you look how super spiritual I am, you know, who do you think, yeah?" It's not that. It's nothing like that. It's like, tell me, what did he say? Don't you want to know what God's saying? Amen. And he might have just chatted with somebody earlier on and you missed it because you were too busy climbing a ladder and concentrating on making sure your foot didn't slip. Hello? God is interested in you. In 1 Samuel chapter 2 and verses 8 through to 10, it says this. He raises the poor from the dust. He lifts the needy from the ash heap to make them sit with nobles. Just think about that one for a minute. I'm going to read that again. Just think about that. He raises the poor from the dust. He lifts the needy from the ash heap. Reminds me of Job on his ash heap. He was needy. To make them sit with nobles. Wow. However you're feeling, wherever you sat, whatever's going on, the Lord intends to make you sit with nobles. and inherit a seat of honor. For the pillars of the earth are the Lord's, and he sets the world on them. He keeps the feet of his godly ones. God keeps your feet from stumbling. He's there for you. But the wicked ones are silenced in darkness. For not many mighty shall... For not by might shall a man prevail. It's not about your strength. Those who contend with the Lord shall be shattered. Amen. Against them he will thunder in the heavens. Amen. The Lord will judge the ends of the earth and will give strength to his kings, and he will exalt the horn of his anointed. Have you been anointed?
Amen.
God says he'll exalt you. God will do it. You don't have to do it. God will do it. So no matter what's happening, no matter what's going on, no matter what comes against us, we are to remember that we are to trust in God's security, in knowing Christ, and to know his life eternal. He will never leave you. He will never forsake you. He says, for lo, I am with you always. Not some of the time. All of the time, even when you're asleep, he's with you. Amen.
Yeah.
God is interested in every area of our lives. Do you know why? Because he invested his perfect son.
Amen.
Into your life, into my life. God's invested everything into you and into me. And that's why he's so interested. That's why he cares. And that's why we need to be building our lives on the rock, Christ Jesus. Build our lives on the Word of God and see God moving in power. I just want to encourage you. Keep building.
Amen.
Don't stop. Keep believing.
Amen.
Keep pressing in.
Amen.
Knowing that Christ is our all in all.
Amen.
And that through him we shall have great victories. And though numbers may seem down at the moment, look to him.
Amen.
Look to him. Prepare ourselves for the increase.
Amen.
And for the harvest.
Amen.
Be ready. Be available. In Jesus' name. Amen. The Lord bless you.